So yesterday we had seen the Rambam taking us across a pretty significant historical event in the history of Torah, in the history of Halacha, intellectual Jewish history, if you like to call that. And that was the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the transition from the way the Jewish people were learning Torah during the 40 years between Mamre Har Sinai and the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, to what happened afterwards. And that's what the Rambam picks up with here, where Rav Shalat, in his edition, right over here, looks at the beginning of the second chapter of this Hakdama. He says, let's understand what this meant. V'da, ki ha-nevuah eina mo'ila bi'iyun b'feirush ha-Torah. Nevuah does not work. Nevuah does not help in trying to understand how you interpret Torah. By now we know from the last couple of days, that Peirush HaTorah is what the Rambam has been using to mean the basic, the core Torah Shebaal Peh, the basic understanding of every mitzvah. Or Nevuah also doesn't work, but Hotzoas HaAnafim, B'Shalosh Esrei Midos, to try to work out the branches. And we began to say yesterday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveyed the core Torah Shebaal Peh, the core interpretation, basic interpretation of every mitzvah, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then also gave Moshe Rabbeinu the tools that Chachmei HaTorah throughout the generations would use to dig into the Chumash, to derive, to mine, to discover the additional layers of meaning, additional nuggets that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had left for us to discover. So both in terms of the Kabbalah and the Drasha, both in terms of the basic core interpretation of Chumash that's received Mimoshe Misinai, as well as the further interpretation analysis, Nevuah does not work for either of those. And here's this famous line of the Rambam. Mashi ya'asuhu Yehoshua u'Pinchas be'inyan ha'iyon v'ha'hekish hu asher ya'asu Ravina v'Rav Ashi. What Yehoshua and Pinchas would do in terms of analysis, iyon and hekish, analysis and making drushes and trying to figure out what the din should be, it's the same thing that Ravina and Rav Ashi did. They're well over a thousand years, closer to 2,000 years between Yehoshua and Pinchas and Ravina and Rav Ashi. They lived in vastly different times. They looked different. They sounded different. They lived in different parts of the world. Yehoshua and Pinchas came into Eretz Yisrael. Ravina and Rav Ashi are in Bavel. And they spoke in different languages. And there may have been many things that Yehoshua and Pinchas knew that Ravina or Rashi didn't know. And certainly, Yehoshua and Pinchas had been at Mamre Har Sinai. They had seen Moshe Rabbeinu b'Moed Einayim. We assume that Ravina or Rashi were unbelievably great tzaddikim, and we assume that Yehoshua and Pinchas were inestimably even greater than them. But, the Rambam says, with all the differences, fundamentally they were doing the same thing. Not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was hearing Torah directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Nevuah. But he says, even though Yehoshua lived certainly in the period of Nevuah right after Moshe Rabbeinu, but fundamentally doing the same thing. Let me just show you. You've probably seen this in the past. At the very beginning, the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, I think I mentioned this in passing yesterday, the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah Torah, before he gets to counting the mitzvahs and then to Perek Av Halacha Aleph of the first topic, Perek Av Halacha Aleph Yisodi HaTorah, Rambam opens with an introduction. And he gives you the 40 links in the chain of Masorah. And he says, the period of Gemara ends with Ravina and Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was Makabel from Rava, who was Makabel from Rabba, who was Makabel from Rav Huna, tracing back to Rabbi Yochanan, Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, going through the list of Tanaim, all the way back into the period of Tanakh. See, here we go. Here's the Hakdama of the Rambam. Hakdama to Mishnah Torah, which, by the way, begins in ways that are similar to the way our Hakdama to Mishnah begins. Kol mitzvah shenitnu l'Moshe miSinai b'perusha nitnu. He starts right away. Torah shebichsav, Torah shebal peh. and that Chumash was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Moshe Rabbeinu, excuse me, before he passes away. And he goes on to give the a sketch of Masorah, Moshe to Yehoshua to the Zakenim. Should sound familiar from the beginning of Pirkei Avos. And the Rambam is naming names all the way through to Yehuda HaNasi, and so on and so forth. And then he takes you through the other Svar written by the Tanaim and to the Talmud Bavli. And here he has the list. Nimsa me Rav Ashi ad Moshe Rabbeinu Arbaimish. Worth seeing this inside. So there are 40 links in the chain working backwards. Rav Ashi from Rava, from Rabba, from Rav Huna, from Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel. Here he works backwards through the Tanaim. This sounds a lot, by the way, like the first parak of Pirkei Avos. Right? Hillel, Shammai, Shmai, Vavtalion, Yehuda and Shimon, Yoshua and Itai, Antigonos, Shimon HaTzadik, Ezra, Baruch. Remember, the first mission of Pirkei Avos ends with Shimon HaTzadik, with Mishiyare, Anshek Nezah Gadol. Here he is working his way backwards. Ezra was Mekal from Baruch, who was the primary Talmud of Yirmiyahu, from Tzefanya and from Chavakuk. Fascinating, all these names from Treasar. We don't necessarily think of them as being great Talmidei Chachamim. The Rambam is highlighting that these names, they were, in addition to being Nevi'im, they were the leading Gedolei Hador of their lifetimes in terms of Talmud Torah. Chavakuk, Nochum, Yoel, Micha, back to Yeshaya, to Amos, to Hoshea, who lived before Yeshaya. Zechariah, Yehoyada, Elisha, Eliyahu, fascinating. Achiah, David, Shmuel. We're working our way back pretty early to Eli, to Pinchas, to Yehoshua, to back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shalkol HaNevi'im, Me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So this is the famous list, the 40 links in the chain. From Moshe learning Mipia Gvura all the way to Rav Ashi at the end of Chasimah Satalman. So what the Rambam is saying here is understand from link number 2, doesn't say Moshe, from Yehoshua and Pinchas, all the way to Ravina and Rav Ashi, fundamentally doing the same thing. Obviously, they were different in many ways, and were certainly many things Yehoshua knew, both halachically and mystically, that we would assume Ravina and Rav Ashi did not have access to. But fundamentally, they were engaged in the same type of learning. As the Rambam goes on to say, let's bring it back. In other words, Nevuah didn't work. Yehoshua is probably a much higher spiritual Madrega, but the Nevuah wouldn't matter. All those names that we saw over there, more or less the first half of that chain, Yeshaya and Hoshea, Tzefanya and Nachum, they were Nevi'im as well as Chachamim, but their Nevuah is not relevant in the world of learning. Only Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, Rabban Shalkal HaNevi'im. You know, in the Rambam's list of the 13 Ikari Amunah, the number 6 is the existence of Nevuah. Number 7 is the uniqueness of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Halacha could only be conveyed through Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. Once Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, it's going to be through analyzing what we already have. Of course, it raises the question of, what is the point of Nevuah? Yisron ha-Navi u'pa'ol ba-Torah ma'u. So what is the role of the Navi? And what's his impact within the Torah framework? Hinehu chenav shimini karma gadol v'atzum mashar le'em mishan adas v'yisoda. So understanding Nevuah is really important. I'm saying Nevuah doesn't play a role in analyzing halacha post-Moshe, but don't think we don't care about Nevuah. It is one of the great fundamental ideas of Yahadus that our religion, our das, rests upon. As we just said, it is on Imam number 6 and number 7. It says, I'd actually like to spend some time talking about it. This seems like the right moment to take a little tangent from our history of halacha. He says, we're going to pick up later on. But first, let's talk about Nevuah. But first, let's take a question from Yoni Panich. Yeah. So what I showed you just before, and I can share with you a link also. That's the Rambam's Hagdama to the Mishnah Torah. Remember, where we're studying here, our primary text here. Yeah. What we're studying here is primarily the Rambam's Hagdama to Perush HaMishnayos. But Mishnah Torah, what in Beis Medrash usually called the Rambam, Hilchas this and Hilchas that, Hilchas fin, Hilchas brachas. So at the very beginning of Sefer HaMadi, he has a Hakdama. And in that Hakdama, which he wrote many years after with Hakdama Pirush HaMishnah, there's a lot of overlap. And he the Hakdama Pirush HaMishnah, you'll find at the beginning of a Pirush HaMishnais. So if you have a set of Mishnais with the Rambam's Pirush, you'll find this at the beginning. Also, by the way, something good to know bibliographically, if you're looking for the Rambam's Pirush, you're not going to get the most up-to-date translation, but the old-school translation by Ibn Tibbon and the others, you'll find actually in the back of a typical Gemara. If you take a Gemara, take a Menachos, you turn to the back, usually after the Rush, there'll be Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam. So if you look in the back of Brachos, the Pirush HaMishnayos to Brachos, to Zraim in general, and before that will be this Hagdama of the Rambam. We're using Rav Shalat's edition, because he, as I mentioned, I think the first day, he's a Talmud Chacham Eretz Yisrael, he's a Magid Shir in Birkat Moshe, in Maaleh Adumim, and he's an expert, he's really an expert in Rambam, specifically in the Rambam's Arabic writings. So he did a fresh retranslation of the Rambam's Hagdama. There's an edition that actually has both the Arabic original and his translation. So for all of you, if your Arabic isn't too rusty, you can take a look there, or you can just trust his translation. But we've been using this edition, but the truth is, if you had a Gemara Brachas, you can turn to the back and find the Pirush HaMishnayos to Zraim. It's in much tinier font, it's without Nekudos, and most importantly, it may not be as accurate a translation, definitely not as a smoothly flowing a translation. But yeah, it is there. You'll find that at the beginning of the Rambam's, what we're learning, at the beginning of the Rambam's Hakdama to Mishnayos, it's often called the Hakdama to Zraim, or the Hakdama to Brachas, because you find it right before Brachas. But obviously, as we're seeing, this has nothing to do with Zraim. The Rambam did write a Hakdama to Kadshim and to Taras, where he talks about Karbanos and Batum and Tara. But this is really a Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnayos in general, which is why you see at the top, Shailat's title is Hagdama La Mishnah. This is Hagdama overall to Mishnah to Tarash Vapet. What we were just looking at, peeking into before, the Rambam's Hagdama to Mishnah Torah, right? Which you'll find at the beginning of Sefer Hamada, very, very beginning of Sefer Hamada. Yeah, Yonatan, question. Yeah, is that Yoni? Yeah, it's a good question. I think the Gemara in the Nedarim, I believe, addresses that and gives a list of some of the aspects that were all halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. And I believe the Gemara mentions the small letters and the big letters, some of the funny letters, and the kriyuk siv as well. The Gemara has a list of sort of the different additional features, so to speak, of Torah Shebichzav. They're all part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Yonatan. Question. Okay, go for it. I agree that it was a tangential question and a good question. Not why, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was actually thinking the other day, during the year, sometimes they do a Thursday night Q&A. So if guys are interested, it's sort of like a chance to sort of broaden the scope in terms of hashkafa and other types of questions, the things you've been wondering about, to provide a forum to talk about. So if guys are interested, I'm more than glad. It could be the end of Thursday or it could be Thursday night. Maybe let's talk about that later. But for now, yeah, how come in Zeron there's only Bavli on Brachos? Which is also true in Seder Taurus, is only Bavli Anida. In Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi does have Gemara on all the Masechtas Zeron. The reason probably is that the Amoraim learned everything but focused on that which was Halacha Lamaseh. Asuki Shmaita Liba the Hilchos, working out halacha lamasa, like Lumo da Manas Lasos, is a critical part of Talmud Torah. So it's important to learn all of Torah, and there's added value and added urgency in learning that which is relevant to Lamaisa. So they invested more, they invested time in all of Torah, but they invested more time in those parts which were relevant. So if you're living in Bavel, as obviously the Amoraim of the Bavli were, so Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, that's all relevant. Mizraim and Taros are not relevant on a day-to-day basis. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, as the Amoraim of the Yerushalmi were, we call it Talmud Yerushalmi, but Lamasa, they lived mostly in the Galil in the north, it's because of where the Romans had pushed them. But they lived in Eretz Yisrael, so Zeraim was as relevant for them, you know, Trumas and Masros and so on and so forth, was as relevant as Moed, the Nashim and Zikin. So there are sugyas throughout the Bavli about Zeraim topics, but apparently not enough to constitute an entire Masechta. So here and there, there definitely are sugyas about Trumas and Masros and about Shemitah and so on and so forth. They're scattered throughout the other Masechtas. But Brachos is the one Masechta of Bavli. Obviously, one Masechta, of Zeraim, that obviously is very relevant in Chutz Laaretz, so there is Bavli on Zeraim, and the same is true for Maseches Nida versus the rest of Seder Taurus. I think it's a Chafetz Chaim, and this is, you said this is a tangential question, but actually has particular relevance for the 3 weeks. The Chafetz Chaim, I believe, addresses the fact that there strangely is Bavli and Yerushalmi on Kachim. Even though the Amoraim lived, you know, a century and a half or several centuries after the Churban Bayis Sheni, so they weren't presumably bringing Karbanos. So this what it's a part of Torah, just as Taurus is, and just as Ra'im is, even in Bavel. But you wonder, so okay, we expect to have sugyas of Karbanos scattered throughout the Bavli, but how come it seems like they were learning Kachin with the same degree of intensity they're learning the Moed Nashim Zikin? Yeah, what do you say? What would you suggest, Yoni? Yes, that's right. You're on the ball. So there was Yerushalmi on Kachim as well. We know because the Rambam, actually later in this work, in the Pirush HaMehagdamah, the Pirush HaMishnayos, at the end, after he gives sort of the broad, you know, introduction to Torah Shva Peh, Nevuah, Halacha, Machlokas, at the end, he gets down to, okay, let me talk about this sefer you're about to look at and how I built the Pirush HaMishnayos. And he writes that, you know, what he's going to use, you know, which svarim he has at his disposal to help figure out pshat in the Mishnayos. He says, I have Talmud Bavli on 4 Siddurim, and I have Talmud Yerushalmi on 5 Siddurim. And he says, we get to Taros, we're going to have neither Bavli nor Yerushalmi. You're going to have to work very hard with Toseftas and you know, Sifras to really figure out those Mishnayos. So it's clear the Rambam had, he says he had Yerushalmi on 5 Siddurim, clearly including Kachim. We do not have Yerushalmi on Kachim. So in between, you know, over the last 8-9 centuries, between the days of the Rambam and now, the Yerushalmi on Kachim went poof. Presumably not so many people have learned Yerushalmi in general, Yerushalmi and Kachim in particular. And over time, you know, whatever manuscripts there were destroyed, were lost, and we don't have it. And as Yoni is saying, there was a famous forgery many years ago. Someone claimed to have found Yerushalmi on Kachim, and he published the manuscript that he had found Yerushalmi on Kachim. And then it turned out after a number of years there was a forgery. I have to say it's a bizarre crime. Like, I'm not sure. What motivates you to forge someone else's sefer? In other words, there are many Yitzrei Hara, people do the wrong thing, but you understand at least it was the wrong thing to do. You understand why they did it. They had some, you know, gain. But forgery in a sefer, in other words, you're working so hard and you're not taking, it must have taken years to write a fake Yerushalmi on Kachim. And he didn't take any credit for it. It was like a bizarre type of taiva. He spent years and publishes someone else's work. It's hard to understand. But there you have it. Different strokes for different folks. There was someone who forged Yerushalmi on Kachim. There used to be a real Yerushalmi on Kachim, which we don't have. Right, so it's coming back. So how come there's both Bavli and Yerushalmi on Kachim when neither of them, Amoraim in either location, were not actually keeping Kachim Lamaisa? So the Chafetz Chaim suggests, this is relevant for this time of the year in particular, Chafetz Chaim suggests that the idea of unishalma, unishalma parvasvasenu, Gemara says based on pasuk and treasar that we can pay up the cows with our lips. Unishalma parim sifasenu, because we can compensate for not being able to bring the parim, the cows, the oxen, the actual animals as karbanas, with our lips, with our, the Gemara understands, with our learning. If you learn Hilchas Kachim, learn about karbanas, so it's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah. Best would be to actually bring it, but if you can't actually bring the karbanas, at least learn about it. It'll be ki'ilu you brought. So the Chafetz Chaim is of the opinion that everyone agrees. The Smak does not agree, but the Chafetz Chaim is of the opinion that only works by karbanas. He says, if there's some other mitzvah I don't get to keep, you know, you say, I'm a Levi, so I never get to do Pidyon HaBen. I neither receive nor give Pidyon HaBen. So I'd like to at least learn Hilchos Pidyon HaBen. Ki'ilu, I kept it. Right? Or a Jew is stuck in Siberia, and he doesn't have access to Lulav and Esrog and Sukkos. He says, let me at least learn the halachas of Lulav and Esrog. Will that be Ki'ilu? So certainly valuable Talmud Torah, but the Chafetz Chaim says, this magic that when you learn about it, is Ki'ilu, you did it, that's special to Karban, special to Kachem. It's perhaps a part of the tzipisa li Yeshua, the yearning for Beis HaMikdash. The Chafetz Chaim was very, very involved, very invested in that idea of yearning for Beis HaMikdash. And he has a whole beautiful pamphlet, tzipisa li Yeshua, where he develops this chiyuv. Gemara says, you come to Shamayim, they're going to ask you, tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you yearn for the Yeshua? So one of the aspects of it, the Chafetz Chaim says, if you actually are waiting, you know, you've heard the stories of Chafetz Chaim with his, had the suitcase packed under his bed, ready for the Mashiach would come. Chafetz Chaim said, if let's put our money where our mouth is. If you really want Mashiach to come, well, what would you do when Mashiach came? So is your bag packed? Okay. And then there's a Beis HaMikdash. And okay, now go, bring karbanas. What do you do? So he says, how could you say you yearn for Beis HaMikdash if you're not actually learning and preparing to bring karbanas? So he saw, Chafetz Chaim actually, he like published Svarim to make learning Kachim more doable. And he suggests that learning Kachim has this unique quality of Unishalom Parmas Vaseinu. It's only by karbanas, where learning is a ki'ilu of doing. So he says that's why there's Bavli and Yerushalmi on Kachim. Because the Amoraim did spend the same amount of time on Kachim that they spent on Moed Nashim Nezikin, because it was, in a sense, Halacha L'maisa. Because by learning Kachim, it's Ke'il, you did it. And something which, for the Chafetz Chaim, doesn't apply anywhere else. Something special to Karbanos. So again, that's why there is Bavli on just about all the Masechtas of Kachim, as is true with Moed Nashim Nezikin. When it comes to Zerah and Taras, they're not Halacha L'maisa B'zman Hazeh, so they learned those sugyas, but not as much, with not as great focus. So they didn't actually develop full masechtas on those topics. Okay, shkoyach. If there's interest in a more mesudar Q&A on a weekly basis, b'simcha, let me know. I'm glad. Again, it could be at the end of Thursday morning, or it could be an optional get together on Thursday evening. Mishmar, if anyone wants, I'm definitely open to that. So let me know. I'm not putting anyone on the spot now, because then it's like, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I'm not going to say no. So if you're actually interested, reach out and let me know. I'm more than glad to make it happen if there's interest. If there's no interest, I don't need to force people to come. We're going to jump right now. Yonatan Ginsberg, $120 in Masechta. Very good, very good, very good. Ever the businessman, Ginsberg. Ever the businessman. Yeah. Okay, let's get into Havrusis now. Let's remember where we're up to in terms of Tefillin. In terms of Tefillin, remember we were looking at the Birkos, the Gemara, the Bavli, Amud Hey, Amud Beis. Got us thinking about when you say the Bracha, and that was specific to Tefillin, but also sort of general issue of Birkos HaMitzvos. Remember the last thing we saw in Shir 2 days ago, and a drop of, and some Seder yesterday, and a drop of Seder a Seder 2 days ago and yesterday, looking at the language, the Over, the Kodem, what does it mean, and sort of working through the Shock of Ataria. We want to take a look at now, which you had a chance to begin to look at Becharus yesterday. We're going to take a fuller look at now to try to work out, so why. Why over Lasiyasan? Why is that important? And what is that telling me about Birkas HaMitzvahs in general? And what is that telling me about mitzvahs in general? So for that number one, you want to take a careful look. I know guys were already looking at yesterday the Ritva, the longer Ritva. I think that was in Psachim, that second Ritva, who began to talk about the why. You got to sort of pick apart what he's saying. He's saying one answer, he's saying two answers in terms of why did Chazal mandate over Lasiyasan? Who cares? They say the bracha before or after. Then you're going to be medayik in that Rambam. Those Rambams, the beginning of Hilchas Brachas. I think there was a typo. Yonatan pointed out. I said there's one key word to look at. That key word is the beginning of Halacha Gimel, not Dalad. Beginning of Halacha Gimel. If you have time, you can also look at two other things in the Ma'amar Kamos. Now, there's a tshuva of the Nabi Yehuda, which relates to this Ritva and Rambam, I think, in a very interesting way, historically and also in terms of Lamdas. Number two, the Meiri goes into like the little font. He raises another fascinating question in the world of Birkas HaMitzvahs. If you have time, you can take a look. And probably tomorrow, if you're ready itching to go weiter, there's a Tosfos here, Lamed Hem Beis Anto Lamed Vav Amnav, a Tosfos in our Gemara, who sort of takes us back. We've been looking at their general issue of Birkas HaMitzvahs, but Tosfos takes us back to a specific issue in terms of how to put on tefillin every day. Machlokas v'yad tamer b'el Eliyahu. So again, right now we get into Chavrusas, except Chavrusas in a second. Definitely to look at the Ritvas, the Meiri, the Rambam, and then if you have time also, you can look at the Nabi Yehuda in the Ma'amar Makamos, look at the optional piece of the Meiri. You can even take a peek at Tosfos. Okay, let's set up Chavrusas. Let's see how it goes. Here we go. Yeah, we're going to do new Chavrusas. We're doing new Chavrusas at... What? So then I would say, so that's when you're going to want to go on to the Nod Behuda and go on back to that Meiri. Those Nod Behuda and the Meiri are both in the Ma'amar Makamos. The Nabi Yehuda is an interesting, you'll see, it's like a historical tshuva written that relates back to the issue of the Ritva for the Rambam. And the small font of the Meiri raises a new question, very fascinating question that we shall discuss. And if you finish all of that with time to spare, which is a little unlikely, you can go on to Tosfos and Arsugya. Okay, here we go. Okay. As with the Mori Machshav and with everything else, and with the question of Faharas and all that, Chavrusas also, I look forward to your ongoing feedback. And what here we're trying version 2 of Chavrusas. Let me know how it goes. We can always keep it. We can tweak it. Okay. Here we go. Time now is 11:35. Gvaldik. So I figure we're learning Chavrusa for a good 25 minutes or so. And then we'll come back to shit. And we'll come back to, and take a 5-minute break if you like. We'll come back to shear at 12:05. Here we go.